I don't know what a great idea this is, ladies and gentlemen, but I have a more detailed camera, more high-definition camera. Like I said, I don't know if this is a good idea or not, because who really wants to be seen in high definition? I'm not sure I do, but here it is, and I'm happy to be with you with my new camera here. And thanks to all of you for letting me into your home, letting the Revelation series into your home. It is a personal thing we have here. It's intimate. We are intimates. We are friends. We struggle together. We suffer together in this eon. We are making sense of things. Sometimes we don't like the things that are happening, but we do make sense of them. And sense is better than fear, fear of the unknown. Making sense of these things, even though they're hard, is better than a fear of the unknown. Now, to finish the week, I'm going to tell you that I don't believe Donald Trump is the Antichrist. All right, now I know that I'm dating this show by just mentioning the election of 2016, and I hate doing that, by the way. I don't like to date these shows. One of the beautiful things of this job is that truth is timeless, and that the truth of the unveiling is as true 2,000 years ago when it was written by John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, as it is today. You can't date this. Well, you can once this stuff's over, I guess. But it's still great in that it's true, and truth is always truth. So I, as you know, do not put many current events in this show because I like to keep it timeless. But we do talk about, once in a while, the state of Islam. We know the religion of Islam plays heavily into the end times scenario and the election of 2016. I personally believe that this will be the last presidential election because I think we are that close to the snatching away. And I promised you a long time ago that I was going to take you through part of the book, The Chronology in the Bible by F.H. Bader, and show you his date. He sets a date not for the snatching away. He doesn't set a date. He sets a year. And I think years can be known. Seasons and times can be known. A year is very broad, very general. I think this can be known. And F.H. Bader has a time, and it's very close. And if he is correct, I think that this will be the last presidential election. Now, I don't think Donald Trump is the Antichrist. Why? Because you say the Antichrist is going to be strong. The Antichrist is going to do away with Islam. The Antichrist is going to kiss it and make it all better. That's true. And there, that last part, kiss it. That's why Donald Trump cannot be the adversary. The adversary is going to be the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to be more subtle, and the adversary is too, much more subtle than Donald Trump is. Donald J. Trump. And my litmus test for who the Antichrist will be, the man of lawlessness, is Glenn Beck. Now, I like Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck is a likable guy. He's a decent man. I like his, I do like his politics, and I like his, I'll just stop there. I was going to say his morality, but I think he's very much skewed by religion. He's a Mormon, and we know how screwed up that religion is, false religion. And so because he's in a false religion, he will be one of the ones duped by the man of lawlessness who will be the head of a Christian contingent backed by armaments, ladies and gentlemen. So if Glenn Beck sees through a person, then that person's not the Antichrist. Simple as that. So as long as Glenn Beck continues to live, I will be able to continue to tell you who the Antichrist is. Because Glenn Beck is in the business of unifying different faiths. And he is known for saying, don't worry about your belief system. We need to quit arguing. We need to come together. It's a kumbaya moment for Glenn Beck. And he's bringing together priests and rabbis and pastors and ministers of every faith. And he brags about it as if this is a great thing, not realizing that he's bringing in or helping to bring in to facilitate the formation of the beast. So this means, if Glenn Beck is any indication, this means that, and don't think Glenn Beck's not a major player. He is. He was on CNN for a while, then he went to Fox News. Now he has his own company, The Blaze, his own media company that's a major player, and the man has an amazing operation. And God is using him mightily. I've said this now for probably 4 years to help bring the beast into operation. He would be the last guy to admit or to know, to realize that that's what's happening, because he plugs into the political theory that unity, or the social theory, unity is good, and we all have to come together. And it's the whole idea of Babel, of Babylon, is that the Tower of Babel wanted to unify, and all those nations were unified then. Well, there weren't nations. All the people wanted to come together, and they thought with unity there is strength. And they're right, with unity there is strength. A house divided against itself cannot stand, and so let's all get together. And so this is what Glenn Beck wants to do, get people together. But as we know, Jesus Christ came not to bring people together, but to bring a sword. And you know this in your own life. And I'm happy to see religion and politics separated. In the book of Revelation, they come together at the end, because we're going to have Jesus Christ unifying religion and politics. Until then, they are very bad bedfellows, but they are going to join again. So, therefore, since Glenn Beck is the litmus test, all I need to do is see who Glenn Beck endorses, and that person would be closer, a much closer candidate to the Antichrist. Therefore, if you're paying attention to this election cycle in the year 2016, Ted Cruz would be a great candidate for the Antichrist. The Antichrist will have Glenn Beck behind him, totally. And of course, Glenn Beck will be thinking he's doing good, doing the best, doing fantastic. And also, Christianity will fall in line with the Antichrist. And so, Ted Cruz is a sickeningly Christian, I believe. And he talks about things of faith. But again, they're worshiping the false Christ, the pop icon Christ. So am I, Martin Center, impressed with that? No, I am not. You know I'm not impressed with that. How's this high def working? A little nervous about it. Anyway, it is what it is. So why should I care? So to the mass of humanity, the worship of the wild beast is going to be a matter of course. They're not going to blink twice at it. They don't fear him. They're not going to fear the Antichrist. What was it, Blue Oyster Cult? Don't fear the Reaper? Yeah, well, Christians, people of the world, among whom a vast amount of the world's populations are Christians, of the world's population, they will not fear the wild beast. They'll be eager to have his emblem or his name or his number on them, because as I suggested before, I believe the emblem will be a cross. They'll be eager for it. But it will be a very fearful trial for the pious Jew. For the Jew who wants to honor Christ, it's going to be a terrible trial at this time. Now, the Aeonian Evangel, to tie that loose end up and to get away from it for the rest of the eon, I'm never going to comment on this again, God help me. It's an evangel of fear. It is primitive and basic. It is fear God or else. It's really appropriate to the dispensation of divine indignation at this time in Israel's history, and it's in keeping with a time of judgment. This is a time of judgment, and you have faith in God or else. This isn't our faith. Again, I mentioned yesterday, just because we have similar words doesn't mean we're in similar evangels here. Doesn't mean that at all. These are very disparate evangels, that of the circumcision and that of the uncircumcision. There is no realization of God's love in the Aeonian Evangel, and certainly not during the time of indignation, even though behind the scenes, it's the love of God that keeps his people. It's the love of God that has sealed the 144,000. It's the love of God that actually provides for the martyrdom of some of that vast throng of Israelites, because it will be graciously granted to them to be martyred for the name of Christ. And they will provide for themselves through their martyrdom a better resurrection. Was shocked when I first saw that phrase in Hebrews, a better resurrection. I thought all resurrection was the same. It's not. If you suffer for the sake of Christ, there's a better resurrection ahead. And that goes for the uncircumcision as well. So there's no realization of God's grace, only his power. His power is seen readily here. at the time of the end of this eon. Such a God as is presented here is to be feared and worshipped, and those who don't fear or worship him are, in a word, doomed. Not for eternity, but they will be suffering the fire and the brimstone, if you want to call it that. That's the King James term I prefer to call it. Sulfur. They will be delivered, but only by death. So here's the trend of religious thought today. I guess I can get started on this thought here. Peter puts it in a nutshell in 2 Peter 3:4. I've brought up this verse a couple times over the last year and a half. Oh, speaking of the last year and a half, there is an amazing new tab on the site ZenderOnRevelation.com. When you go to ZenderOnRevelation.com to watch the show, under recent posts on the right-hand side of that homepage at ZenderOnRevelation.com, you will see a new tab called Complete Archives. This is an easy way to go back and catch the shows you missed. The shows are listed in reverse order. Start at the bottom. That's the first show, and you click Complete Archives. It's a link in blue at on the right side of the page, about halfway down underneath recent posts. It says Complete Archives. Scroll through that and look at all the shows that have been recorded in the last year and a half. I myself am I'm impressed. This really encouraged me to see all these shows. I knew I'd been doing a lot. I knew I'd been working hard at this, and when you see all the shows that have been done here, it is, I have to say, kind of impressive. I'm kind of impressed in about myself here, actually. So, easy way to go back and catch up on the shows that you missed. Okay, all right, 2 Peter 3:4. There are scoffers that will be arising and that have arisen who will say that they will doubt that anything could change in God's creation. Because they think that God has set creation in motion and then left. He started things rolling and then he is a bystander in his own creation. And these scoffers will say, in support of their ridiculous observation, that's not based on any kind of observation, but on their own vain reasonings, nothing's gonna happen because nothing's happened in my lifetime. Nothing really big has happened and nothing's gonna happen. Everything has continued. And that's what they say, quote, all is continuing thus from the beginning of creation. And this is what some theoretical scientists have tried to tell us. They are preoccupied, these eggheads, in postulating something that they cannot prove. That is that all nature is continuing and will continue as it has always continued in the past without any disturbance from without. In other words, everything is on autopilot and it is a victim of inertia, sophisticated inertia, in that nature runs its course, it's doing its thing, and it runs very slowly like a clock and just steady, nothing can disturb it. And no disturbance, certainly no disturbance from without, certainly no disturbance from God. And it seeks this pseudoscience, this imaginative science, tries to explain the forces of nature, tries to explain everything by the principle of the forces now operating in nature. These are inviolable. No one can put a wrench into the spinning wheel. And then Peter says, they're ignorant. They're ignorant of this, that there have been great cataclysms in the past. I keep bringing this up to you and I'm going to continue to do it because it's important, because even in our own camp, we have scoffers who think that the coming of Christ is, these days of tribulation are many, many centuries ahead. It's true, such people are not denying the fact that different things, dramatic things, violent things will happen under the hand of God. But they're just not reading the times and the seasons. And they're oblivious of the divine revelation that great cataclysms have rent this earth in former eons, speaking of the disruption and the flood of Noah. This is why This is why they try to, these evolutions try to make so many millions of years into their cosmology, because if there's a long, long, long period of time, it gives these things millions of years to develop, millions of years to change, but they're oblivious of the suddenness of God's judgment and the suddenness of God's changes that He has brought upon the earth and in the near future that He will bring upon this earth.